Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Lamed Zayin. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elishev Neumann, the Zuchus of Fuhr Shalema for Sarah Frey de Bas Chaya, and the Zecher Nishmas Chaim Naftali Ben Yaakov Shlomo. It's also sponsored anonymously, Le Kavarat Torah Velamdeha, and it is also sponsored by Joseph Fried, the Zuchus of Fuhr Shalema for Fega Miriam Bas Naomi. We are holding on Daf Lamed Zayin, on Daf Lamed Vavim Beis, rather. We are at about 7 lines before the end of the page. Mai al dover acher mishum dover acher. The Gemara is going to discuss today why we are gozer to, when, starting at what age, we're gozer tuma on a tinok akum, on a non-Jewish child. There's a gzeira of tuma ziva, whether he actually is a zav or not. So at what age does that gzeira begin? We're going to compare that to the gzeira that we have of tumas nida on a girl, and when that gzeira begins. The Gemara is then going to tell us that Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya was not interested in being matir pas akum, even though he was already matir shemen akum, because he didn't want to develop the reputation of being a beidino sharia, of being a beisdin that is matir. So the Gemara is going to tell us that there was one beisdin that was known as a beidino sharia because of three different things that we were matir, that they were matir. One of those things that they were matir related to Hilchus Gittin. So we're going to spend a lot of time in Amud Aleph discussing this, a particular halach in Hilchus Gittin, when you set a time well into the future, a time frame for the get, when exactly is the get chal? Is the get chal only in that time frame at the end of that time? Is the get chal at the beginning of the time? What happens if the husband dies in between that time frame? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the machlokas, if an ayil kamtsa is tahar or tameh. There's a certain type of creature that may or may not have tumas sheretz. So that was one of the things that this Bedina Sharia was matir. We're going to discuss what that machlokas was all about. We're also going to have a discussion about another thing that they were matir, which is that the mashka beimit bachaya, the liquids from the slaughterhouse, are tahar. What does that mean? Does that mean they're totally tahar, or just that they're not able to be metameh other things? And then we're going to mention that one of the things that someone was matir was the yikrav lemesa misav, that someone who comes close to a mace is tameh, and we said, oh, that's a big kula. So the Gemara is going to say, what do you mean that's a big kula? We just said that he's metameh, not that he's metaher. So we're going to have three different explanations of what that means, why that would be, what exactly he had said that was a big kula, that we would call him a sharia, a matir, based on saying that someone is tamei for coming close to a mace. So let's begin. Lamed vavam beis. Last one in line is mai, about 7 lines before the end of the page. So mai al davar acher mishum davar acher. When we were mentioning in the baisa what was usher, what they were gozer and iser on. So we said that al pitan shmanan mishum yenan, they asered pas akum and shemen akum because of yayin akum, and they asered yayin mishum benosayan, and they asered benosayan mishum davar acher, and you would imagine that would relate to avodah zarah. But then we said val davar acher mishum davar acher, and we're speaking in so many euphemisms you can't even decipher anymore what it's talking about. The other thing because of the other thing. What's the other thing? What's the other thing? What do we mean? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Gazer al tinok ovid chavim sheitamei beziva shleiy tinok Yisrael ragel asol mishkav zachar. There goes there that a non-Jewish child has tumaziva because we don't want a Jewish child to be too close to him because we're concerned of mishkav zachar. Amar Rav Zera tzar gadol ha'yili. Rabbi Zeri said, I had a great tsar by Rabbi Yassi, Rabbi Yassi Yitzel Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yassi by Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Yitzel Rabbi Yanev, Rabbi Yanev Yitzel Rabbi Nosam Ben Amram, Rabbi Nosam Ben Amram Yitzel Rabbi, Tino Kovid Chav Meimus HaMetam B'Ziva. What was the great tsar? I didn't know what the halacha is. At what age do we assume that a Tino Kovid Chavim has Tumas Ziva? V'Amar Li Ben Yomo. He said, even as an infant, one day old. Ukshabasi Yitzel Rabbi Chia Amar Li, but when I asked the same question to Rabbi Chia, he had a totally different opinion. He said, Ben Tes Shonim V'Yom Echad. Not one day old, 9 years old. That's when we're gozer the Tuma. Ukshabasi V'Rtesi Tvarei Lefnei Rabbi. So I went and I reported everything to Rabbi, everything that I had heard. Amrali Hanach Dvarai Ve'Echoz Dvar Rabbi Chia. And Rabbi said, forget about what I told you. Instead, you should follow the Shita of Rabbi Chia. Meaning, Rabbi was the one who originally said Ben Yomo, because Rabbi Nosson Ben Amram, the Eitzel Rabbi, was the last one on that list that we had mentioned of the Tsar Gadol that they had. So Rabbi was the one who initially said Ben Yomo, but once he heard that Rabbi Chia had said no, that it's only at the age of 9, so Rabbi changed his mind. He said, yeah, at the age of 9, that's when we're Gozer Tumah on a Tinok Akum. chavim. Da amar tino kol v'chavim emasai mitam b'ziva ben teish shanim yom echad. Hol v'roi lebiya mitaminami b'ziva. There were gozer this tumah ziva only when he reaches the age where he's roi lebiya. And at what age is that? That's 9. So prior to the age of 9, there's no gzeira of any sort of tumah. Amar avina hilkach hatinokas of v'chavim bas gimel shanim yom echad. Hol v'roi lebiya mitaminami b'ziva. So says Gemara, you know, it would therefore turn out if the gzeira of tumah is chal when the child is roi lebiya. So yeah, for a boy, that's the age of 9. For a girl, it would therefore be the age of 3, because at the age of 3, we assume a girl becomes ru'uya lebiya. So there should be a gzeiras tumas ziva on a female ovedes kochavim at the age of 3. Says Mar Pshita, yeah, that's obvious, of course, meaning if it's 9 for a boy, so it's 3 for a girl. Mar says, no, ma'al detema, hay yada largule, v'ala yada largule. I would have thought that there's a big difference. Remember, this is not a tumma da'araisa. This is a gzeira of tumma. Why did they make this gzeira? Because we're afraid that they're going to ensnare the Jewish child into some illicit relationship. A 9-year-old Ovid Kochavim may be clever enough or conniving enough to be able to ensnare a Jewish child into a relationship. A 3-year-old Ovid Kochavim, I would assume that they wouldn't need to make any such gezerah. For a 3-year-old, she's not old enough to be margil anybody. So Kamash Malan therefore comes to tell me that we do make the gezerah. The gezerah is based on the age at the Roy Labia, and therefore even for a 3-year-old. Period. Says Gemara, "Mistamech v'azal Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya kasvei derabbi simlai shamei." The entire daf is going to, the entire rest of the daf is going to be based on this conversation that we're about to report right now. That Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was leaning on the shoulders of Rabbi Simlai, his shamish. Amalei Simlai lo yisa emesh beis hamedrash kishi itarnu es hashemen. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, Simlai, you missed yesterday in the beis medrash. It was a big day in the beis medrash. We were matir shemen yesterday in the beis medrash. Matir Shemenakum, Amalobia, Menu, Tatir Afes Apas. So he says, ah, halavai, we should be Zocha in our days to be Matir Pas Akum as well. Amalo, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, no, we don't want to do that. Imkein, Karlan, Beis Din Asharia. We don't want to do that, because if we do that, then they're going to call us the Beis Din Asharia. They're going to call us the Beis Din that's Matir everything. We don't want to develop a reputation that we just show up to Beis Din and our Matir things every day. Ditnan, Heid Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda, Sreda, that Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda, Shreda was meyid in his Mishnah Masech Zedio, so Rabbi uses the lashon of heyid al ayil kamtsa dachan, that a certain creature called an ayil kamtsa is tahar, va'al mashka beis mitvachay dachan, that the liquids of the slaughterhouse are tahar, va'al dikrav lemisa misav, and that someone who comes in contact with the dead body is tamei. And because of these three kulas, and as I mentioned before, the Gemara is going to ask why the last one is a kula, the last one says it is tamei, but because of these three kulas, v'karalei Yosef Sharia. You know what they used to call him? They gave him a nickname. They called him Yosef Sharia, the Yosef who's matir everything. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to be known as Rabbi Dinasiya Sharia, that my basin is matir everything. So I'm going to avoid being matir pas akum. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Simlai said back to him, why would you have to avoid being matir pasakum? All you were ever matir was shemenakum. So Amar Lei, Hasam sharatlas, Umar sharachada. You know why he was called Yosef Sharia? Because he was matir three things. You, to date, have only really been matir one thing. So v'yishari marachada achriti, akati tartu nudavyan. If you're matir one more thing, you're matir just pas, so then you will have been matir two things, not three things. So no one's going to call you Beidina Sharia. Amalei Anasharei Achriti. He says, well, I have a secret. There is another thing that I was matir once. So because there's another thing that I was matir, and the Gemara is about to explain what it is, but there is another thing that, because there is another thing that I was matir, in addition to being matir Shemen Akum, if I'm now matir Pas Akum, that will be three things, and then I'll just be like Yosef Sharia, and everyone will call me the Beidina Sharia, and I don't want to do that. So a couple of things over here before we get into what that issue is, that they were matir. So first of all, there's a machlokes Rishonim whether Rebbe was actually matir Shemen Shel Akum. According to Rov Rishonim, the one who was matir Shemen Shel Akum is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, the son of Ram Gamliel, who was the son of Rebbe, meaning the grandson of Rebbe, the one who lived in the days of the Amoraim. Tosos and Daflam Vavamiral quoted from the Rashbam that's the one that's mentioned in our Mishnah, because later on the Chachamim, that dar, were koveya in that line in the Mishnah that was was authored by his grandfather Rebbe. But in the Gemara's Lashon, they call him Rabbi the Nasiya, and in the Lashon of the Mishnah, they call him Rabbi Hanasi. So even though the Mishnah said that Rabbi Hanasi was Matir Shemen, our Gemara says Rabbi Nasiya was Matir Shemen, and the reality is that it was Rabbi Nasiya, the grandson, not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the grandfather. Rashi writes that we should not be Goreis in the Mishnah Rebbe Ubezinu Hitiris Hashemen. The Ramban says Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was an Amora, and it's clear in our sugya that that's the case. However, the Ramban also quotes a Yesh Misha Omer that Rebbe was initially Matir Shemen. Problem was, no one accepted his heter. It was only in the days of his grandson, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, where he repeated the heter, and that's when it was finally accepted. So both are true. It was the grandfather, but no one listened. Then it was the grandson, and people listened. Ramban says the problem with this, there are several problems with this. If Rebbe was Matir and they were not Mekabalit, so what is the Eidos of the Tana in the Mishnah? So he says it could be that we learn in the Mishnah that they were Hitiru, that the Heter of Rebbe was, even though they were not Mekabalit, so that if another Chacham wants to come and be Matir, the reason why they needed to be recorded in the Mishnah is that he should know that he has the support of Rebbe, meaning that's no small support. He's not coming to make up something new that, you know, normally you need a Beis and Gadol B'Chacham Minyan. You could say, you know, Rebbe was the one to have the support of Rebbe, so that's why it would be recorded in the Mishnah, even though it was unsuccessful. The Ramban has other kashas on this shita as well, but let's leave it at that. Now, the idea of being called Beidina Sharia it sounds like it's not a good thing to be called a Beidina Sharia, and L'chadchila, no one should ever be Matir three things, because you develop a reputation of Beidina Sharia. In fact, the Rambam, the second paragraph of his Mamre, Halacha Ches, says that if a Beidina has been Matir Shnei Dvarim, Al Yimaher, they should not be in a rush to be Matir a third, meaning they have to be cautious of their reputation, and likely it's not only that they that they don't want people saying bad things about them, or they don't want people speaking lashon hara about them, but likely the strength of the first two heterim that they gave are in the balance, because if they're just known as the Beidina Sharia, people say yeah they're makil about everything. Sometimes a posik is known as a makil, and they say, you know, people stop taking their psukim as seriously, or known as a machmir, and people stop taking their psukim as seriously. Yeah, he's mekel about everything, he's machmir about everything. So they have to be careful about that reputation in order for their psukim to be taken seriously. And the Sefer Kosei Yeshuas says that Rabbi Simlai knew that Rabbi the Nasiya was already matir, the third case that we're about to mention, that he was already matir the case of a get, and he knew that a bezin that's matir three things is called the Beidina Sharia. And still he was trying to push Rabbi the Nasiya to be Matir Pas. What was Rabbi Simlai thinking? Why was he pushing him to be Matir Pas? Says the Sefer Kosei Yeshuas, because he thought that Pas and Shemen were a single Gzeira, that it wouldn't count as two separate Heterim. And that's really what they're arguing about over here. Is that a single Gzeira, or is it, or are these multiple Gzeiras? And on a side note over here, just parenthetically, the Gemara mentions that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was being Somech Akasve de Rabbi Simlai Shameh. He was leaning on his shoulders. So it sounds like that he was being mishtamish the Talmud Chacham, meaning he was leaning on his shoulders. The Aruch Lener points out that while he was leaning on his shoulders, they were talking and learning. He was asking about halachos, and is telling us the Chiddush that l'chora you have a real kash over here, because since Rabbi Simlai was a shona halachos, he was someone who taught halachos, how are you allowed to be mishtamish the Talmud Chacham? The Gemara Megillah tells us it's asul l'shamish b'mi shashona halachos. So you have to say that that's dafka when you're being mishamish l'tzarchov, for your own needs. But if you need to lean on him in order to preserve your strength, because he's trying to learn from you and he's trying to get halachos from you, so you need to maintain a clarity of mind, so it's for his sake that you're leaning on him. So that's why it was mutter. That's why this whole setup was mutter, where Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was leaning on Rabbi Simlai. Aruch Lener says it about a different Rabbi Talmud relationship where it happened, but l'chora would apply over here as well. Okay, so back to this conversation. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, if I am matir pas on top of already being matir shemen, it would be my third kula. Why? What was the second kula? What other kula did he have? So maihi, says the Gemara, what is this sharai achriti? What is this other kula that he has? It's not, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Gittin. Zegi teichem lobasim mikan nach 12 chodesh. If a guy says, here is your get, if I don't show up within the next 12 months, and then umeis b'toch 12 chodesh, he dies within the 12 months, so is the get going to be binding or not? Well, what difference does it make? He's gone anyway, they're not married anyway. No, maybe they don't have any children and he has a brother, so there may be a yibum requirement. So if it's considered that the get was never chal because he died before the get had a chance to be chal, there's a requirement for yibum. But if the get is chal, then there's no requirement for yibum. Halacha is, ain't no get, it's not a get. He died, that's what ended the marriage. His death ended the marriage, there's a requirement for yibum. V'tani Allah, v'rabosenu, hitiru alinase. And we learned that rabosenu were matir, her to get remarried without yibum. V'amin and man rabosenu, who are these rabosenu? Amar v'dim r'shmol, beidinu, t'shar mishcha, it is the beizdin that was matir, shemenakum, meaning it's Rabbi Yehuda, Nasiya's beizdin, the one that was matir, shemenakum. Savalak Rabbi Yossi, and why were they matir to get married? Why do they think that it is a good get? Because they hold like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, the Amr's Manu Shal Shtar Mochiach Alav, that holds that the date in a shtar is the determinant of when that shtar is going to be chal. So even though the get said, you know, a get was written on whatever the date, let's say February 21st, 2018, and it's dated February 21st, 2018, but it says if I don't come back by February 21st, 2019, this should be a good get. So the fact that he dated it February 21st, 2018 means that the Zman of the Chalos HaGet is today, is February 21st, 2018. The fact that it says if he doesn't come back by 2019, that's just a Tanai. And guess what? If he dies between now and then, he's not coming back. He's not going to come back by 2019. So it'll be a fulfillment of Tanai, but the get will be from right now, Me'achshav, and that's a big kula, because now she's not going to require any yibum or any chalitza. Now Rashi writes the svar for Rabbi Yossi why it is that we assume zmanu shel shtar mochiach lav, that the date written in the shtar is the time that the shtar is chal. So Rashi says, because why else would he write the date in the shtar? So asks the Mor Dror. Rabbi Yossi himself was not talking about a get. He was actually talking about a shtar matana. Now in a shtar matana, there's no need to write a date. So the fact that they write a date is in fact mochiach that it must be he wrote a date for a reason, and that's when he wants the shtar matana to be chal. But by a get, there's a requirement to write zman in a get. So can you really prove from the fact that he wrote a zman in the get that he wants it to be chal right now? Maybe he wrote zman in the get because there's a requirement that you must write zman in the get. So the Marsha in Ksubas Nav Beis raises this kasha and he says, yeah, there's a requirement that you write zman in the get, but you know the zman doesn't have to be so precise. You could write what year, what month. You don't have to write what day. The fact that he wrote what day, that he got more specific than he needs to be, that's what's mochiach that he wants it to be chal right now. In the Karni Re'im over there on the pages of the Marsha, he suggests that he could have written the zman of when the get would be chal, meaning if you do have to write zman in get, but you don't have to write today's date. You could just write whenever it's supposed to be chal. So if it were supposed to be chal in 12 months from now, he could have just written 12 months from now. The fact that he wrote today's date, that ultimately is what is mochiach. Says the Gemara Vayta now, Vam Rabbi Abba Bered Rabbi Chia Baraba, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Hora Veloho Dulo Kol Shaito, Rami Lo Kol Siato. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he had this kula, and other people were not did not agree. Amalei Reb Lazar lehu sabas. Reb Lazar said to a certain elderly man, "Ki sharisua lialter sharisua deloasi odilma lachas shemas chodesh toykayim leitanai." You know, when he was matir and he said, "You don't need yibum, you don't need chalitza. The guy's dead; he's not coming back, and the get is chal from today. You don't have to wait for the." So does that mean that we don't even need to wait out the 12 months before she gets remarried? Or do we at least need to wait it out, you know, wait till that date comes, and then let her get remarried without Yibum Chalitza? Meaning, either way, it's a big kula. She doesn't require Yibum Chalitza. But the question is, do we let her get married today, like right now, within the 12 months, or do we at least make them wait out the 12 months? So says, why are you asking this kasha only on this heter? You could ask it on the Mishnah, the Tanan. Mishnah tells us, person says, this should be your get, start from now. Now should be the chalos I get. I'll deny that I don't come back in 12 months. And then, he dies within the 12 months. Well, then everyone agrees, have a get. It is a valid get. Because he certainly is fulfilling his tonight. That's where you should ask the kasha. Is the get going to be chal right now? Can you get married right now because you know that the get is chal? Or do you have to wait the 12 months before you get married? So why didn't you ask it over there? Says, I could have asked the kasha over there as well. I just happened to have been participating in a conversation where we were talking about the heter of Rabbi the Nasiya. So once it was in that context, I raised the kasha in that context. But I raised the, it's not a kasha, but I raised the question in that context. So I raised the question over here in this context, but Enochinami, this question could be raised in any number of contexts. A couple of things over here as well. Rabbi Elazar said, Lahu Saba. Who is the Hahu Saba? Who is the unidentified old man? So there's a Tosus Maseches Chulin and Davav, where Tosus quotes Yesh Mefarshim, that any time in Shas you have the word Hahu Saba, it's a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. So Tosus himself is Cholik on that, and Tosus' Raya to be Cholik is Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Daled, tells the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He leaves the cave, right? Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel is the story of the cave, so we have a little bit more about the aftermath of the story of the cave of Rabbi Shimon. That's how you remember the Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel. It's Lag, right? Like Lag Ba'Omer. So Shabbos Lag, Daf Lag. So Daf Lamed Daled, it tells that after he left the cave, he said, you know, Hol v'Srachish Linei, since miracles happened for me, I'm going to go do something with Tzorchei Rabin. So what did he do? Like Yaakov Avinu did when he was Nitzel Miad Esav. So they showed him a place where there was Safek Tuma that Kohanim used to always have to avoid because they didn't want to come in contact with Safek Tuma. So he figured out where the Tumah was, and he marked off the area that was Tameh and made the surrounding area Tahar so that Kohanim would be able to go. And that was his Tzarchei Rabin. And then Ahu Saba said, Tir Ben Yochai Beis HaKvaros, that Ben Yochai was just Metaher a Beis HaKvaros. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was Nasan Einav Bo, and that Saba died because he was Nasan Einav Bo. So says Tosos, that can't be Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi didn't die. It's not possible that that was the story of Eliyahu HaNavi. So Tiferes Yaakov distinguishes between Ahu Saba and Masech HaShabbos, who seems to have been a regular guy that was there the whole time, versus someone who you meet in the middle of nowhere and just seems to show up. He says, you know, someone who just seems to show up that you meet in the middle of nowhere, that the Gemara calls Ahu Saba, that's likely Eliyahu HaNavi. But sometimes it just means there was an old guy there. So, you know, in Masech HaShabbos, it just means that there was an old guy there. The Maariz Chayis quotes from a Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, not Rav Huttner, the Sfardi Pachad Yitzchak, that also wonders about this Yesh Mefarshim from Gemara Makos. Gemara Makos says, Ahu Saba says in the name of Rava about a certain person who was eaten by a lion within three parcels away from Rav Yishuv ben Levi, and because the Gemara over there in the context is talking about how it's tzaddik protects his entire environment, and if something terrible happens within the zip code of the tzaddik, so that reflects poorly on the tzaddik, that he's not as great a tzaddik as you thought he was. So Ahu Saba said that when someone was mauled by a lion within three parcels from Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Eliyahu HaNavi didn't go visit Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi for 3 days because of that. So Ahu Saba is talking about Eliyahu HaNavi, says Maariz Chayis, that lechor is a better raya, that Ahu Saba does not always mean Eliyahu HaNavi, unlike what the Tosus quotes in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim. Another quick point over here. If a guy says Zegitechem Lo Basi, the Lechem Starim just raised the question that tonight, how raise Zegitechem Lo Basi, it doesn't follow the Mishpatei HaTanoim. There's protocol of how to make a tonight. For example, you need Tanai Kodem Lamaisa. So Hareza Gitech Meachshav Im Lo Basi? No. Im Lo Basi Hareza Gitech. You should have the Tanai before the Maisa. So the Rambam actually holds that this would not be a violation of Tanai Kodem Lamaisa. According to the Rambam, it's not a kasha at all, because the Rambam in the sixth paragraph of Chazisha says that Tanai Kodem Lamaisa means you have to say the Tanai before you do the Maisa. Not say the Tanai before you say the Maisa. It's not in the formulation. Because the Mishnah quotes from the Ran that, no, even if it means you have to say the Tanai before you have to say the Maisa, a lot of the Mishnayos are not written with all the Mishpatei HaTanayim built into the way we write up the Mishnah. But obviously it means, if you made it Tanai with the proper protocols, you had a lawyer make sure that it's got all the proper protocols, but we're not going to go through all the proper protocols every time. And that's why in almost every case you have in Shas, of a Tanai, where it talks about a Tanai, and again, it never has a Tanai Kafel, it never says, and if not, then that, it never plays it out on the other side, because the Balei Tosfos point out, we don't have to do that every time. Tosfos points out in Maseches Ksuvos and other places that it's unnecessary to mention that every time, that it's obvious that that's the way it's meant, that it's meant to be a double-sided Tanai. So we just mentioned it in shorthand. We just mentioned what the Tanai was. One more point before we move on. Reb Elazar wasn't sure. Is the woman allowed to get remarried? When we say that she's allowed to get remarried, is she allowed to get remarried today, or do you have to wait till after 12 months? So Tosaf here raises a question. He doesn't understand why in the world you'd have to wait after 12 months. Tosaf Dibra Maskali Alter. She's not coming, the husband's not coming back, right? The Tanai was that if he doesn't come back 12 months from now, we're saying that the fact that he died, it does not prevent the get from being chal. The get is chal before he died. Why in the world did you have to wait 12 months? He's dead. He's obviously not coming back. So Tosfos says gzeira, that it could be that the chum would have made a gzeira that you have to wait even when he died, because she might come to marry even if he doesn't die. Tosfos Maseches Gittin and Daf Ayin Vav and Beis says a little differently. He says it's not that kind of gzeira that you might come to remarry even if he doesn't die. It's just that a lot of people may be unaware that he's dead. Everyone is aware of the Tanai in the get, but they may not be unaware that the husband is dead. So in order not that it shouldn't look funny that she's getting remarried before the Tanai has been fulfilled, so we wait it out. We wait until the Tanai is fulfilled. The Ran in Maseches Gittin says that if the husband says the Tanai and he makes the get be dependent on coming or not coming by 12 months, he clearly didn't have in mind that he's going to die within the 12 months. He clearly didn't have in mind that he's going to be divorced at any stage before the 12 months. So that's why we're choshesh, we're only matir afterwards. That's the svara to only be matir afterwards. Because by adding that 12-month requirement in, he clearly doesn't want her to be remarried until after 12 months. Okay, says Gemara further. Amar Abaye, relating to Gittin, where you attach some sort of time frame to it. Hakol modim l'kashatetze chami min artika l'chinafka kamala. Everyone agrees that if he says this should only be chal when the sun comes out, it means that it's only going to be chal when the sun rises, when the sun actually comes out. V'chimayis b'layle get l'achramisu. And therefore, if he dies before sunrise, so then the death is what ended the marriage, and the get is not going to be chal. It's what we call a get l'achramisu, which is not a valid get. Al minascha teitzecha min artika, if the way he formulated it was that we should be divorced on the condition that the sun rises tomorrow, me'achshav kamala, clearly he means that the get should be chal right now. It's just dependent on the condition that the sun rises. V'chimayis b'layla avate tana haviv get mechayim hu. And therefore, if he dies before sunrise, it's still going to be a good get, because the get is chal immediately. K'drafuna dam rafuna kolom ramanas kolom me'achshav dami. The phrasing of al minas, rafuna says, is like saying me'achshav. Lo nechluku ella bi'im teitzei. The whole machlokas about whether it's chal right now or whether it's only going to be chal later on is if you use the lashon of im teitzei. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi sabla karbiyosi damar zman shoshan mochiach alav. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds that it's chal right now because you look at the time of the get itself. Vavli kemayom emesi kemayachshav emesi. And it's as if you said me'ayom, it's as if you said me'achshav. V'rabbanan lasud rabiyosi vavli kezagiteich im mesi greida. And the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi, and they say no, it's like saying that there should be a get if I die, if and when I die, not that it should be chal right now. Gufa. Hey, Yossi ben Yoezer Ishtreda. Now, going back to how do we get into all of this? This was the third kula that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya had that he was afraid he'd be known as a Beidina Sharia. Now, where did he get the idea that he'd be known as a Beidina Sharia? Because it happened once before. It happened to Yossi ben Yoezer Ishtreda. He was Matir three things, and he became known as a big Mekil. So now we're going to go analyze the three things that he was Mekil with. So, hey, Yossi ben Yoezer Ishtreda, al ail kam tzu dachan, val mashkabe mit bechaya dachan, val So going to on the first one, my ayil kamtza. What is the ayil kamtza that he was matir? So Papa Amar Shushiva. It's a little creature called a Shushiva that he said is tahar. It's not one of the Shemana Shratzim. Rav Chia Barami Mishmedu Lomar Susvil. It's a creature called the Susvil. Rav Papa Amar Shushiva of Kamifli Barosh Avaruch. He says that the machlokes was about this creature that has a long head. Marsav Barosh Avaruch Hasr Marsav Barosh Avaruch Mutter. There are simanim of the Shratzim. So is Rosho Aruch, a simon that would make it not one of the shratzim or yes, one of the shratzim. Rabbi Chia Barai Mishmedu Ula Amar, he says, no, Susvil. What they're arguing about is this creature called the Susvil. And what's the machlokas? Rosho Aruch Liam Lo Pligi Da Asim. When if it has a long head, that everyone would say is asir. V'hacha b'knaf of chofen esruba al yidei chak kamiflegi. One of the simanim of the shratzim is that the wings cover the majority of the body. What if it's not so obvious that the wings are covering the majority of the body? You'd really have to measure with precise instruments to figure out that the wings are covering the majority of the body. So marsav ruba kol dubi inan. So one says, well, what difference does it? You have to measure. You need a robe, and it's a robe. That's it. So it's fine. Umarsav ruba. And the other one says, no, in order for it to be considered that the wings are covering the majority of the body, it's not enough that it be measured with precise instruments as a rove. It needs to be a ruba de minkar. It means to be something that you eyeball it and you could see, oh yeah, that creature's wings are covering the majority of the body. So the one that asers the susvil is because knaf of chof and asuba al-idei l'chak is not enough. You need a ruba de minkar in order for it to be mutter. So Rashi explains, Al-Yidei Chak means that you really have to measure it very carefully. Now the Gemara Maseches Chulin on Daf Chav Tes tells us that when you shecht an animal, you need to cut rove of the simanim, and the Gemara says you need a rove hanira le'enayim. It needs to be an obvious rove. Rashi explains means a rove gomor v'nikr. So the Rashba over there explains rove hanira le'enayim means not like Rashi. Not that it has to be clear and obvious that it's a rov. Rov anir le'inayim means that 50-50 is not good enough. That mechza is not karov. But if it's 51%, that is good enough, even if you're going to have to measure it. That's the machlokas Rashi and the Rashba in Maseches Chulin. Why am I mentioning this? Pri Chadash brings a raya from Rashi over here by the Susvil, that you need a rov hanira bibirur without any medida. And he says, so it must be that by Shechita also, you need a rov that you can eyeball, not like the Rashba, that 51% is good enough. Just like over here, you need a rov hanikr, over there also you need a rov hanikr. So in the Pre-Torah, he says you cannot bring a raya whatsoever. These two sugis have nothing to do with each other. He says, when it comes to Shechita, yeah, 51% is going to be good enough. You know why? Because when it comes to Shechita, the din of rov is the halacha. That's that's the siba. That's what's matir the animal. Over here, what makes a sheretz tamei or tahar is that Kadosh Baruch Hu said the sheretz is either tamei or tahar. The idea that it covers rov is not what's actually matir it. The wing covering the rov of the body is a simin for us to recognize which of the shratzim are. Now, when you give a simin to somebody, the simin better be recognizable, otherwise it's a lousy simin. So that's why over here you dafka need a rov hanikr, because it's a lousy simin if it's not a rov hanikr. But when it's a siba, when the reason, when the very matir of the item is the rove, so I don't care how precise the instruments are that you use, as long as you can determine that it's a rove. So that's it. That's the sima. You have your rove and you have your kula. So as the Pitara points out, you can't really make a tushtel from one case to the other. And we also have the kula that they had, that the mashka of a slaughterhouse is tahar. My dachan, what does it mean it's tahar? Rav Amr Dachan Mamish. Rav says, Tahar, mamish tahar. Ushmol amar dachl in tamei acherim lav in tamei tumas atzman yesh ben. That no, it only means that it can't. It's not tamei enough to be metamei other things, but itself it has tuma. Rav amar dachl mamish kasavar tumas mashkin drabanan. Rav says it's mamish tahar because he holds the very din of tumas mashkin is only drabanan. V'chigaz rabanan tuma b'mashkin dialma v'mashkin v'chaylo gaz rabanan, and the rabanan only made their gzera of tuma on mashkin by other mashkin, not by mashkin of a slaughterhouse. Ushmul Amar Dachan Militame Acherim of Tumas Asman Yeshben. But Shmuel would say, no, it's only tar in the sense that it can't be metame other things, but it itself is certainly tame because kasavar tumas mashkin daraisa. He holds that tumas mashkin is a din daraisa, and letame acherim drabanan. Just the idea that mashkin could be metame other things, that's only drabanan. And once again, mechigaz rabanan mashkin dial mashkin meimelchay lo gazru. This gezerah drabanan was only instituted for other mashkin, not the mashkin meimelchay. So both of them agree that whatever the din drabanan is was limited to things outside of the Beis HaMitzvachayim, right? That they both agree. The machlokas is which tumah was subject to only a din drabanan. Is it the tumas atzma or is it the tumah l'tame acherim? Good. Valdiakrav l'misa misa v'kar le'yosef sharia. And then the third thing that he was matir that really cemented his reputation as Yosef Sharia was that if a person comes in contact with a dead body, he's tameh. That was his third kula. So says Gemara, Yosef asara mi bayalei. That's not a kula. That should earn him the reputation of Yosef asara. He said that the person is tameh, not that the person is tahar. Rosh Hash points out, obviously that wouldn't earn him a reputation as a machmir if he has one chumrah. We're saying that this psak should not have contributed to his reputation as a matir. Not that it would have been enough to earn him a reputation as a machmir, but it shouldn't be something that contributes to his reputation as a matir. Va'ona, furthermore, the fact that if you touch a dead body, you're tummy, that was a gzeri drabanan? No, daraisi, he dixiv, kol asher yigal p'nias ad b'chol charva b'meis, b'ferish in the Torah. You touch a dead body, you become tummy. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara has three suggestions. Suggestion number one, what was his bikula? Daraisa, dikrav tummy, dikrav b'dikrav tahar. On a daraisa level, if you touch the dead body directly, you're tummy. If you touch the guy who touched the dead body, you're tahar. Va'asu inhu v'gazra afil dikrav b'dikrav. And they came and they were gozer, the rabbanan were goes there, a chumrah, that even if you touch the guy who touched the dead body, you're tamei. Va'asa ihu, but then Rabbi Yossi ben Yosef came along, and he vukma daraisa. He brought back the din daraisa, he took away the chumrah of touching the guy who touched the dead body. So says Gemara, dikrav b'dikrav nami daraisa, d'chsev kol ashrigabah tamei yitma. No, that's a din daraisa also. If you touch a guy who touched the dead body, the fact that you're tamei is also a din daraisa. It can't be that Rabbi Yossi ben Yosef made that okay. It's a din daraisa. So Gemara says, no, a second possibility of what exactly he contributed. Amura ban kamed rav mishmed mar zotra b'red rav Nachman, dam mishmed rav Nachman, the way rav Nachman explained was as follows. Daraisa dikrav dikrav b'chiburin tumas sheva shlo b'chiburin tumas eret. If you touch a guy who's touching a dead body while he's touching a dead body, then you are tameh as if you yourself are touching a dead body. You tameh tumas sheva 7 days. But if you only touch the guy after he let go of the dead body, then yes, you're tameh midaraisa, but only tumas erev, only that one day. Va'asu inhu, the rabban came along, v'gazra afilu shelo b'chiburin tumas sheva, that even if you touch the guy after he's finished touching the dead body, you're still going to be tameh midrabbanan tumas sheva. Va'asu ihu. Ooh, and that's where Rabbi Yosef ben Yosef came along with his big kula, v'ukma daraisa, and said, nah, the daraisa is good enough. Keep it at the daraisa. If you touch the guy who touched the dead body after he's no longer touching the body, you're only tummy tumas erev, not tumas shiva. Says Gemara, daraisa maihi. Where do we find such a din daraisa that if you're touching the guy while he's touching the dead body, you're tummy tumas shiva? You touch him after you touch the dead body, you're only tummy tumas erev. Where do we see that in the Torah? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, anugeh b'meis l'chol nefesh adam mitit mashiva siyamim. Touch the dead body, you're tummy 7 days. Uksiv, the kolash are yigabo atame yitma. Anyone who touches that tame guy becomes tame. Uksiv, v'nefesh hanagas titma ad erev. But then you have another pasuk that says that anyone who touches that guy is only tame ad erev. So which is it? Is he tame for 7 days or is he tame ad erev? Haketan kan b'chiburin kan shelo b'chiburin. Ah, must be that one pasuk is talking about where you're touching him while he's touching the dead body. That's tumas shiva. And the other is that you're touching him after he's done touching the dead body, and that is only tumas erev. So says Mar Amalu Rav Lava Minil Chulotitu Bebukusriki Rav Nachman. He says, how many times do I have to tell you? Stop saying ridiculous things in the name of Rav Nachman. That is not what actually happened. That is not what Rabbi Yosef ben Yehoshua contributed. Here it is. Hachi Amar Rav Nachman. Third and final answer. Safik Tum Rishus Rabim Hitu Lehen. Rabbi Yosef ben Yehoshua was makel for them was Safik Tum Rishus Rabim. Says Gemara, that's a din to Rabbanan. Vahilchsa Misota Gamrinala. Maso the Rishus Yachid Aftum Rishus Yachid. We learn that from Sota, that just like Sota is only considered Safik Tamei because it's in Rishus Yachid, so too any Safik Tum is only considered Tamei in Rishus Yachid. So Ham Rabbi Yochan Halacha Ve'in Morin Kein Vasi Ihu Vari Le'eruye. What he contributed was that everyone knew Safik Tum Rishus Rabim is tar, but we made a rule not to publicize that, meaning that, yeah, that's a din daraisa. We never publicized it. Comes Yosef ben Yoezer, and he started publicizing that fact. That he would mark off the areas that were Rishus Rabim and Rishus Yachid. That there is water in the river, you can go and be tovel in that area. But that's the point, that he started publicizing and making it known that Safik Tum Rishus Rabim is tahar. Now Tosafot points out, luchora you shouldn't need sota to teach Safik Tum Rishus Rabim is tahar, because what would you assume without any limud from sota? Meaning, would you assume tame or would you assume tahar? So Tos says, naturally you would assume tahar. Person has a cheskas tara until he's proven to be tamei. No, what we really learn from Sota, Safik Tum Rishus HaYachid is tamei. That's the real limud from Sota. It just follows that Safik Tum Rishus Ram is also tahar. In Lechora, somebody was trying to point out, you could have a case where there's no cheskas tara. Let's say you have a guy who is definitely tamei, and he went to a mikveh that was in a Rishus HaRabim, and you later found out that there were sfeikos about the kashrus of the mikveh. So that's a Safik Tum Rishus Rabim, but his chazaka was a cheskas tuma. So not so pashut exactly what Tos says over here. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Shlakos, which is the sugya of Bishul Akum, a very important sugya. We'll pick up with tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.